Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord, with high respect toward you. You have given us your word. As we pay attention, teach us, O Lord. As we learn success, just like David, even in the midst of adversity, he kept on growing, he kept on winning, he kept on improving. We have our own task, O Lord, coming from you, from our jobs, from our businesses, Lord. We need to learn from David on how to be better even when circumstances are difficult. This we pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So whether you are a regular employee or you work at as a domestic helper or you run a business, it is important for us to do our tasks, to accomplish the things that we need to accomplish. Pardon me, I'm losing my voice, but I hope you can still understand what I'm saying. So my question is, are you a moody person? Do you depend your performance if the conditions are good? If you feel like it, if your body is in tune, or do you have this Monday blues? Like, you hate Mondays. It's because it's at the start of another day of work for the whole week. Or you can only perform well if everybody is performing well. For example, you lead the team. And if they're doing their job, then that's the only time you can do your job. Today we're going to be learning from David on how he became better even when his very leader became his main opposition. So this is the beginning of the troubles that David began to experience as a young person. We just read 1 Samuel chapter 18. Chapter 17 is his victory over Goliath. You know the story, how he was able to kill the giant. So he was able to defeat the giant, but he didn't expect. Maybe he anticipated this because he was already anointed. But maybe he anticipated that it's going to be more difficult to fight his very leader. So God assigned us to be his instruments. So what I'm saying is, do not wait for conditions to be right. Things will go bad. You will experience negative things in your job, in your family, wherever you are. We don't live in a perfect world. So what we can do is to learn how to adjust and still come up with the victory that God wants us to experience. So we should not expect God to give us a perfect setting. In fact, the perfect setting for Him is for you to experience adversity, to experience some difficulty so that His glory may be seen, so that you will learn how to depend on His power and on His promises, so that your faith in Him will increase. So we will be studying I'm titled the sermon as Success Amidst Adversity, learning from David's struggles with Saul. So remember, at this time, David was still a young man. He killed Goliath as a young man, and he's just beginning his service in the palace of King Saul. So three things I'll be sharing to you. First of all, David kept on growing as a winner. He didn't stop getting better. He didn't stop producing producing some results. As we have read from the scriptures, David, whatever job that was given to him, whether he was ministering to Saul inside the palace, playing music for him, or when he was reassigned because Saul was so pissed off with him, he was becoming jealous, and he was made a leader of a war. And he kept on winning. This is my encouragement to you, brothers and sisters. Keep on improving. Keep on winning. Keep on getting better. Especially if you would, maybe if you could compare your condition here. Some of you may have a previous work from other places. You would say, some of you say, well, I have a better working condition here compared with the other ones. Or you will say, well, right now is more difficult compared with my previous employer or previous job. Regardless, you should continue getting better because God is with you. And that's one of the few phrases we have read a while ago as we read along 1 Samuel chapter 18. So let's look at the first verse. We saw here that David was promoted to serve in the palace because of his victory. So again, the first part of the verse, the first part of the verse, they just finished their conversation, and he found a friend in the king's very son. His name is Jonathan. You find here in verse 2 that Saul took him that day and would not let him go no more home to his father's house. So imagine the excitement of David. He has a lesser risk in serving inside the palace compared with going out for war and experiencing the difficulties that a soldier experiences. Some of the soldiers don't get a rest. Some of their lives are at risk. You can get hit by an arrow. You can get killed anytime. Your life is always on the line. He has just won one victory at this time. It was his war his fight against Goliath. And all of a sudden, from becoming an unknown person, he became a winner for the nation. So where did this guy come from? All of a sudden, this young man comes up and wins the battle for us. So he was given a very comfortable new job. And it was sort of a promotion. He'll be closer to the king. He'll know more about the ins and outs inside the palaces. People were jealous of him. It's because, well, he's getting close to the king. Right? So imagine those, all of the privileges. So he may be excited. And the son's king became his best friend. So all of a sudden, he had these privileges. He can get whatever he wants. He can request whatever he wants. He can play like a small king there because he had the favor. Whatever he asked, perhaps, just like a regular son of the king, he would also be able to get. Right? So things were going so well at this time. We don't know how long he enjoyed this this privilege. What we can see here is he was able to bond with the son of a soul, Jonathan. Then in verse 3, it's not working. Then in verse 3, okay, there you go. I didn't turn it on. So David went out with those whoever Saul sent him. So he was given certain assignments. So imagine that you're always the companion of Saul. So Saul being the king, you know, he gets a lot of attention. He gets a lot of privileges. And in expression in Filipino, naaambunan. You know, you get you also receive the benefits of becoming a part of the family of Saul. And look at what he did. He did not become an arrogant person. Let's look at verse 3. So Jonathan and David made a covenant. Now, it's not a joke when you make a covenant. You know, as friends, we have informal covenants. There's an understanding that when you're friends, you'll be loyal, you'll be faithful to each one, right? And they made it more formal. We're going to stick together, close together, take care of each other, and help each other, train together as soldiers, and enjoy the brotherhood. So, and not only that, he was able to wear the robe. You can see in verse 4, Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that he was upon him. So, it's like Jonathan saying, now you can experience what it is to be a son of the king. Enjoy. I wouldn't do this to anybody, not just to anybody. I'm doing it for you because you're my best friend. Because I know God is with you. So, David was a blessing to Saul because he won a battle for him. And he was a blessing also to Jonathan because he had a fighting buddy. And not only that, a soul buddy. So submission to the king brings favor. And that's why he began to serve inside the palace, not anymore in the field, and draws loyal friends, just like Jonathan. So he could have You know, when you're comfortable, it's really tempting to enjoy the comfort. It's really tempting to, I want to stay here. I want to have more. I don't want difficult jobs anymore. You know, that's a natural temptation. Like when you're able to taste delicious food, nice food, exotic foods, or expensive foods, you would want to have more. Wow, I can just open the ref anytime I want and get as much as I can. You know, that's why a lot of us lose our shape. So it's kind of tempting when you're comfortable. And I think the will of God is not for us really to be comfortable. So that's why the story didn't end there. So we find in verse 5, so Saul would bring David, and he behaved wisely. That means he knew his position. That means when he knew how to do his job. The more that you are serving under the king, the more you should be conscious of doing your job so well. Because you might lose that privilege. You know, if you're a leader and if you see your employee and sort of not doing his job anymore, it's disappointing. You would wish that you would see more. You would wish that you can promote him even further because you could be preparing him for a higher job or responsibility. And that's exactly what David did. So Saul set him over the men of war. Wow, all of a sudden, from a shepherd boy, whoosh, he shoot up becoming a leader of the army. And he was accepted in the sight of all the people. It's not easy to win the favor of people. But of course, he came to fame because he was able to kill, he was able to kill a giant. And not only that, you know, there are people who will always not like you. Instead of appreciating what you have done, there are people who will not believe in you. He was just lucky that he was able to kill a giant. Let's see what will happen next time. No, he's not trained. He's immature. He's an amateur. He won the favor of Saul's servants and the men. It's not easy to win, especially when you're new. Where did this guy come from? He's young. He didn't earn this. It's because of a supernatural favor. The supernatural favor came in when he won the battle. But because of that, he got the favor of everybody. Everybody loved him. Everybody liked him. So reliability brings success. It's better to win favor when you have proven something. Right? Because when you're given a responsibility and you haven't proven anything and you fail, that's an embarrassing thing. Right? It's better because you have brought something to the table. You have accomplished something for them. It's like this. It's not just that David did something for himself that he killed Goliath. He did it for the people. The people are safe. And most importantly, he did it for God. God got the glory when he killed the giant. And I can just imagine how the burden of Saul being a king, how he unloaded a lot of the burdens that the king has because he had somebody who can take care of other jobs. Maybe David was also good in training other soldiers. So, wow, this is amazing. All of a sudden, Saul found someone who is very reliable, who can do the job. And it's like he didn't even train him. All of a sudden, he got a good guy. It's like a draft in basketball. You were able to pick the right guy. I'm not sure if you're relating with this. I love basketball, but you know, teams in NBA would love to draft the best guys there. And since even though they're just rookies, you would love to get a guy who's already excellent in their doing their jobs. So, wow, it's like nothing's going wrong. Everything is going well for David. And it came to pass as they came. David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistines. You know, their arch enemy there was the Philistines. Lived among the within the land. So the women came out, all of the cities of Israel. I can imagine just how many women were so attracted to David. Not just because of his youthfulness, but because he was a victor. You know, isn't it true? When you find a man who is a self-made man, Are not women attracted to such men? Of course. Women wants a winner. You don't want a loser. Right? That's why you're so careful in choosing your own men. Right? You don't want a lazy husband or a boyfriend or an unfaithful one. Wow. So you can just imagine the women would come out of all the cities of Israel singing and dancing to meet King Saul with the tabrets, joy, and with instruments of music. So it was a high moment for Saul. Even though it was David who brought the victory. Success earns promotion and honor. So that's why John Maxwell said, success is a journey. Every time you are able to fulfill your job, one day at a time, one project at a time, you are being successful. Success is not a destination. You get recognized when you have gone a long way. That's just the recognition. But success is a lifestyle. It is what you do every day. So if you work well in your job, you're being successful. So it's more of what you do regularly. And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. So the promotion was not only coming from God. It was not only coming from Saul because he was promoted to be the leader of the army, but also of the people. It's the people who gave him a higher respect. Come to think of it, when David was trying to fight the battle against Goliath, his motivation was, this guy was disrespecting our God. Even though he was told in chapter 17 that, later on I will quote that verse, that whoever is able to defeat Goliath, he'll get a lot of privileges. But he didn't think of the privileges. He was thinking of the honor of God. He was thinking of God. He was not thinking of himself. So maybe in this verse, he didn't imagine that it would reach this far. His 10,000. So it's not just about his victory of Goliath that was that they're cheering for him. They were cheering for his numerous other victories. 10,000. That means it was not just a lucky victory for him with Goliath. He was really a winner. He was able to defeat tens of thousands, even better than the track record of Saul. So the promotion and the honor was coming from the people. You don't have to demand honor. You don't have to demand respect. If you're doing your job well, you're going to earn it. That's the reward that God gives to those who work hard, to those who are faithful to Him, to those who are focused on doing, on pleasing the Lord. It will just follow. Some people pursue more for promotion and honor rather than pleasing God. Let God give that to you. Maybe you have prayers greater than, you have more prayers, you know, something better than what you're experiencing right now. Maybe you're praying for a higher income or whatever. You're praying, Lord, I'm saving a lot of money, so when I come home, I have a business. We can run these things and do it. I hope my son would be very successful and he gets a good job and it will be better for him. That's my success. The success of my children is my success. Wow. You keep on doing that. Keep on pleasing the Lord. Keep on working hard. There will be disappointments, but then the praise would come not just from God. It comes from the people. He didn't ask for it. He didn't make up the chant. The people gave it to him. Again, you better live a successful life. Do your job well every day. And Saul was very wroth. Now, this is the turn of events. Because the people were praising him, praising David more than they're praising him, things turned around. And the saying displeased him, Saul. And he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me, they have ascribed but thousands. This young man is 10 times better than I am. So it really struck his pride. What can he have more but the kingdom? So he thinks one of these days he's going to lose it. And Saul eyed David from that day and forward. Now, David didn't know verse 9. Wasn't aware of verse 9. that his very leader, the one who promoted him, the one who gave him the privileges and the opportunities, the bigger responsibilities, would suddenly turn around from him, turn against him. Insecure people are threatened by the success of others. I'm just stating a fact. That's not a command, but this perhaps that's a caution. But you can do anything about it. You can control people. You can control what they're saying. Maybe somebody hit you on internet, on social media. Have you been a victim of sort of chismes or rumor? You don't even realize that the post is all about you. Sino kaya ito? Who's this? He's taking a hit on you, or she's taking a hit on you. What have I done to this friend? I haven't done anything. I just did what I am supposed to do, and I did it for God. So there will be people who will be insecure, and you have to be careful. Okay? And I'm not saying you retaliate. No, we'll learn here that David never retaliate against his leader. So keep on winning. Keep on excelling. Keep on getting better. Keep on doing your job well. Second is, David excelled in whatever job given him. So what we will find out in the next part of the story is that David got a sort of a demotion. And not here yet, maybe in the next chapters, but he would be set up. Let's see what we have here in the next few verses. So, and it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul. Wow. Again, nobody knew this except maybe for Saul. He felt that there's this evil spirit. And he prophesied in the midst of the house. And David played with his hands as at other times, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand. So basically what's going on here, to relieve of Saul from the evil spirit, which Saul cannot fight. He was powerless against the evil spirit. It was David who can relieve him. It was David's musicality, his spirituality. The presence of God, the anointing of God on David made him a more powerful, of course, than the evil spirit. It's like this. The blessing, who is David? The blessing that he had was just right beside him. But he's fighting against this guy. And there was a javelin in Saul's hands. So instead of, David, keep on playing for me. You're helping me out. You bring such relief for me. This tormenting spirit is just too much for me. I need you. No, he didn't do that. He didn't do that. It's weird. The one who's helping him is the one who's fighting him. There's a saying, like which I only heard in the movie Madagascar. You don't bite the hand that feeds ya. Right? He was talking to animals. You don't bite. Anyway, I think you know what that means. And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, "I will smite David even to the wall with it." And David avoided out his presence twice. Wow. It's one thing to die in a war. Perhaps he could accept. Perhaps he has seen some of his men die in war. But to experience this from your very leader, wherein the palace should be the most secure place. The palace should be, you're making the mood in that palace beautiful. You're trying to relieve with your spiritual music the king. And yet, that's the place where he experienced not just a death threat, a murder attempt. Now, you could just imagine, God, what's going on? Maybe a lot of things were coming into David's mind. Why is my leader turning against me? Well, I have a clue. It seems that he's uncomfortable that I'm becoming more famous than him. I already have the anointing. By this time, David has been anointed as king. But it wasn't his turn then to sit as king at this time, because Saul was still seated as king. So what did David do? He went back. You see there, David avoided out his presence twice. That means even after the first attempt, he still risked his life. You know what? I think that's difficult. He almost got murdered. And you would think twice, I'm not going back there. I'm not going back there. But what did David do? God called me to help the king. And if God protected me the first time, and if God has a plan for me, and if God made me king, one of these days, I'm going to inherit the kingdom. Then I know I'm not going to die there. Even if God does not protect me supernaturally, in a sense that he avoided. There's no need for an angel to misdirect the arrow or the javelin. No. I have to be smart. I have to be aware. If all of a sudden, he picks up the javelin and throws it at me. He began understanding the king. Perhaps he can sense, he knew that it's an evil spirit that's oppressing Saul. That's why he was able to do that against him. He understood the king. He had the patience to do this. Now, it's oversimplified here, but because he can't tell much about that, but it's just a wonder that David, after two times, he kept on serving the king. There's a saying, you know, you're aware of the saying. I heard this from the Americans. How does the saying go? Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. It's like that. But of course, David didn't mind that saying because he didn't know about that saying. But he knew his job. His job is to serve the king who is being oppressed by an evil spirit. And he had the Spirit of God. And he alone can help the king in this matter. So Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him. Again, this is a very beautiful phrase. This was used again several times in the story of Joseph. If you remember, the first time we were here, Pastor Paul was giving a series of sermon about Joseph's life. That's one of the key phrases. And the same phrase, clause, is also being used again in the story of David. Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul. Therefore, Saul removed him from him and made him his captain over 1,000 and went out and came in before the people. So, and David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. It's like this. He was assigned inside the palace. It's not like he can easily ask for a reassignment. Can you please just assign me somewhere else? Or can I just go AWOL, absence without leave? No. He waited for God to move, and in that, it was Saul himself who reassigned him somewhere else. It's like this. When you're reassigned, take it as a blessing. I'm not going to enjoy the palace anymore because I'm back here at war. But it's okay. That's the grace of God. It's not my loss. I can't serve the king anymore through my music. It's not my loss. I'm going through another episode of my life. God has a plan for me. He wants me to be a better leader. Maybe I can't be a leader inside the palace because I'm not leading anybody. But in the field, I can influence a lot of people. I may not be able to help Saul much more than playing music, but at least I can help the nation by becoming their actual leader on the ground. So it may be a demotion. People say, you're not in the palace anymore, but a demotion cannot keep a spiritual person from performing well. Not only he's not appointed anymore with thousands of people, but he over 1,000 people or soldiers. But what's the important thing? God, you are with me. This is a difficult job. All I care about is that you're with me. And when you're with me, I have everything I need, all the power. The comforts of the palace, they don't satisfy me. What satisfies me, Lord, is you being with me. You're my master. You're my trainer. You're my captain. You're my commander. And I am better when I'm with you. Can you be a better person? Because the Lord is with you. Do you have the confidence of saying, God, you're with me. And you satisfy my soul. You satisfy my soul. So the companionship of God brings continuous success because the Lord was with him. He didn't feel embarrassed about the demotion. Or he was upset. Or, okay, I'm gonna make a plan and one of these days I'm going to get back at my king. No, he didn't think about that. He didn't think about what people would be thinking. What matters is God is the one leading his life. He just used the demotion. It doesn't matter. Demotion doesn't embarrass me. I can still face the people. I can still win. God was enough. Wherefore, where Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, David, that phrase was mentioned, I think, in verse 4, right? David behaved himself wisely. And still, David behaved himself wisely. He didn't change. He didn't get worse. Because he did not depend his performance on the conditions of his work. He depended his performance on the presence of God with him. Wherefore, he behaved himself very wisely, and he was afraid of him. Saul was afraid of David. Now, that's kind of weird, right? You're afraid of your subordinate. But that's what happened. But all Israel and Judah loved David because he went out and came in before them. That means he had direct personal contact. A king, most of the times, would stay in the palace and just give directives, orders. And he would just let his next level leaders to take care of matters. And he would protect himself from all the criticisms. Unlike right now, because of social media, even the president can know the criticisms against him if he reads the social media. Anyway, the point is, he's safe there. This evil spirit was tormenting him, but he was trying to protect himself from whatever negative things that he may be receiving. Or he didn't want to hear that song anymore, or that chant anymore. Maybe that's what Saul was thinking. I don't want to hear that anymore. Saul killed his thousands, but David killed his 10,000s. Enough for me. Yeah. But what did David do? As a person who keeps on growing, he kept on connecting with people, and he won the favor of people. It's like this. People may remember you for giving them your money, your share. That's the best you could do because, of course, you're serving here. But it's another thing if you serve them directly. You establish relationship with them. You may not have lots of money, but they will not forget how you made them feel well. So that's why, you know, I know you're doing your best to stay with your loved ones, to stay connected with them as much as you would want to have an emotional connection with them. It's just difficult when you're far from them. I don't know how you express your emotions when you're video calling with your loved ones there, or sometimes when you call at home, do you tend to be sort of like a boss? Oh, have you taken care of that business? It's like you're a boss instead of connecting. You understand what I'm saying? You know. Dads have that tendency. Oh, have you paid this? Have you done this? Or have you studied? Instead of, son, how are you? Are you having difficulty with your studies? Is there anything I can help? Can I explain to you 1 + 1 = 3? Something like that. If you have difficulty with science, just call me and I'll ask somebody else. Or what do you do? Ask Google. What happened with Saul? He stayed in the palace. Stagnation. Stagnation is you stay where you are. Stagnation of growth leads to insecurity. While David was growing and improving, not just his performance as a soldier, as a leader of the army, but he was also connecting with people. And that's the real leader. That's what Jesus did. That's what Jesus did. He connected with people. People loved him. People have not just a spiritual connection with him, he had an emotional connection with them. People will forget the knowledge, but how you made them feel. Even the time when you spent just listening to a friend. I didn't counsel you, I just listened to you. But your presence was enough for me. Thank you for listening, I was relieved. Your few words of encouragement, that was good enough for me. I was so touched. Oh, I can be a counselor with stating only a few words. Why not? And finally, David worked hard in difficult conditions. So things are going to get difficult with David in this time. We didn't read verses 17 to 30, so we will read it here. Please help me out. All together, verse 17, go. And David said unto Saul, Who am I? And what is my life or my father's family in Israel that I should be son-in-law of the king? Okay. Now, sort of to make Saul feel himself better because David was becoming more popular. The attention was all on him. People would come to him rather than to him. So he was more insecure. See what he tried to do. Maybe I can get this guy closer to me. Anyway, let me read this verse to you. Chapter 17, verse 25. After winning the war with the fight against Goliath, Saul could have had David as his son-in-law already. It didn't happen. So we're stepping back in chapter 17. And the men of Israel said, Have you seen this man that this... come up, okay, they were reporting, David was asking, what happens if I'm able to kill this Goliath? The people were asking, were responding to him. Have you seen this man, si Goliath, that is come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and to make his father's house free in Israel. After winning the battle, he didn't get any of these. The best that he could do is, come stay with me in my house. That's what we read in the first few verses of chapter 18. So maybe you would think, well, I can, as we express it in Filipino, maniningil na ako sa aking sakihari. I'm gonna get my reward from the king. Where's your daughter? Where are the riches? David didn't do that. He didn't demand for his reward. So see the character of David. He should have gotten all of this and still he didn't. Saul only thought about it because he had a bad intention. Look at the last two lines of verse 17. Saul said, Let not mine hand be upon David, but let the hand of the Philistines be upon him. What does that mean? If he becomes my son-in-law, and he's the one leading the wars, he'll be the future king. The Philistines would rather fight David than me. So I'm safe here. So he had a bad intention by giving his daughter to David. Okay, so look at the middle line. Let him fight the Lord's battles. You know, for David, that's a sound of music. I will fight the Lord's battle. He doesn't want that. I want it. You don't want a difficult job? Let me have it. Because that's the way I can glorify God. So don't turn away from a difficult job that God is giving you. Because that's the way God can promote you, can bless you, and you be a blessing to the people. So let's go to verse 18. Look at the attitude of David. He humbled himself. He resisted the pride, even though he had the right to ask for riches and for the daughter. And he got a second offer this time. The first offer was in chapter 17. This is the second offer in chapter 18. He still was very cautious. Who am I? Even he had achievements. Who am I? Even the people were chanting, He has killed this 10,000. But who am I? What my father's family in Israel that I should be the son-in-law of the king? He's giving them the reasons. But people will say, "Well, you're a victor. People love you. If there's an election, people will say you be the next son-in-law of the king. Why not?" But David was showing humility. He wasn't using his victory as an ace to the king. But again, Saul wasn't done. But it came to pass at that time that when Merab's Merab, Saul's daughter, should have been given to David, that she was given unto Adriel, the Meholathite, to wife. He was betrayed. I thought you're gonna give me Merab. Maybe there was an arrangement already. Are you trying to embarrass me? It's like you have distributed all the invitations already. And then the marriage won't push through. You're not going to be the son-in-law's king. It's like he used Adriel, shame on David. Adriel is the one I favor. What has Adriel done? Why Adriel? Merab should have been mine. So Saul betrayed David, but David didn't get angry. It's easy to get angry when you have been betrayed. I don't know. One of the worst sins that you could do is actually betrayal. Right? Betrayal of a husband. Betrayal of a wife. Betrayal of a friend. You thought that he's being good to you, but behind your back, he's turning against you. It's difficult to handle betrayal. It's no joke to be betrayed. Right? Who's been betrayed here?
Aw.
Good for you. And Michal, Saul's daughter, loved David. Oh, at least there's another daughter. I wonder who's more beautiful anyway. Michal, Saul's daughter, loved David, and they told Saul, and the thing pleased him. Okay? It's like this. He already embarrassed David, for he almost became the son-in-law, but another guy became the son-in-law. Now he's going to take a hit on David for another time. He tried to kill him twice with a javelin. He tried to embarrass him by not giving Merab as the daughter-in-law. Now, okay, another opportunity to put down David by baiting again another of his daughter. So Saul said, I will give him her, that she may be a snare to him. Again, with a bad intention. And that the hand of the Philistines may be against him. If the plan with Merab didn't work because he didn't become my son-in-law, now I have another chance to do that. Wherefore Saul said to David, thou shalt be this day be my son-in-law in one of the twain. Wow. He personally told David, I want you to be my son-in-law. Now, if you would be David, niloloko yata ako nito. This guy is kidding me. This guy is hitting me right in my face. But he didn't fight back. Okay? This was an entrapment. See how this became entrapment. What happened? And Saul commanded his servant, saying, so it's not just David, it's not just Saul telling David directly, I want you to be my son-in-law. He even used the servants to convince him, come on, accept, become the son-in-law of the king. Commune with David secretly and say, behold, the king hath delight in thee, and all his servants love thee. Now, therefore, be the king's son. So, it's like Saul, he's telling, I want you to be son-in-law, and there are cheerleaders. Come on, accept now the offer. A while ago with Merab, you said, who am I? It's like you just turned down the offer. Now, there's another daughter. Come on, accept. So there are cheerleaders, the servants. Look at how David answered. And Saul's servants spake those words in the ears of David. And David said, look at the response of David. Seemeth it to you a light thing to be a king's son-in-law? You know, it's a serious thing. It's something you have to really think of. Seeing that I am a poor man and lightly esteemed. Wow, he's not really that poor. But is David really putting himself? Maybe you can say like David is trying to protect himself. It's like the nice way to deny the request of the king. You don't just deny the request of a king, right? In fact, you don't deny the request of a king. But you see, Saul was afraid of David, so somehow David can say no. But at this time, he was about to accept the offer. And the servants of Saul told him, saying, on this manner spake David. And Saul said, thus shall ye be, ye shall say to David. Okay? The king desireth not any dowry. You know, it's expensive to get that daughter of the king. You know what dowry is. You have to pay the parents. And how much are you going to pay the king? That's the king. You're taking away the daughter. It must be very expensive. So what does Saul want for a dowry? Here, the king desireth any dowry, but 100 foreskin of the Philistines. Kind of gross, right? 100 foreskin. To be avenged of the king's enemies. Okay, you do the vengeance for me. But Saul thought to make David fall by the hands of the Philistines. What's the task be? Basically, it's an impossible task. Give me 400 foreskins of the Philistines. It's like, it's really gross. And I don't want you to imagine it, but I think you can already imagine that. 400 foreskins of the Philistines. Practically a high-risk mission just to get the daughter of the king. And when his servants told David these words, it pleased David well to be the king's son-in-law. And the days were not expired. Okay, David is going to take the challenge. So let's just wait and see if the Philistines will win. If David's going to risk his life just to get 400 foreskins of the Philistines. So our point number four is a hardworking person knows how to accomplish a difficult task. That's a difficult task. Wherefore, David arose and went, and he and his men, and slew of the Philistines 200 men. And David brought their foreskins, and they gave them in full tale to the king. That's the dowry. That's the payment. That he might be the king's son-in-law. And Saul gave Michal, his daughter, to his wife. I guess Saul was so surprised. How did you do it, David? That was an impossible task. That was a risky thing. You know, imagine how the Philistines felt on David being able to get the foreskins of their men. It's really an embarrassment for them. It's going to make things worse, the relationship between the Israelites and the Philistines. And the war would worsen and would continue. But David accomplished the task. Okay, this time I deserve your daughter. I was able to fulfill. Now you could think maybe next time around he'll demand for more. No, this time he got the wife, Michal. He worked hard, he got it, with the help of God. So work hard. Again, we've been telling you that. We're almost done. And Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with him the third time. That means Saul cannot deny. He cannot stop this guy. He cannot put this good man down. He cannot stop the plan of the Lord for David, and he knew he's going to fall. Jonathan is not going to fight David. Michal is going to help David, not the father. So he was kind of alone. So that's it for Saul. And that Michal's daughter loved him. So Michal was on the side of David. And Saul yet was more afraid. Have you seen a leader so afraid? So insecure? And that's what Israel got. A very fearful king. And Saul became David's enemy continually. It's not over. He may have given him Michal, but this fight is not over. And this fight is going to happen inside. So what happened? Two more verses before. I think this is the last verse. Then the princes of the Philistines went forth. And it came to pass, after they went forth, that David behaved himself for the third time. It says there, David behaved himself more wisely. He was getting better than all the servants of Saul, so that his name was much set by. So for a servant of God, the more you push him, the more he gets better. The more you are pressured, the more you get better. It's like diamond, you know how diamond is formed? So much pressure. But with so much pressure, the diamond becomes harder, becomes more precious, becomes more expensive. I don't know with you, we may not be as good as David, but we have the Spirit of God. The Lord is with us. Believe that He's with you. Even when you feel alone inside your room and you feel so desperate about your situation, you wish you could come home back to the Philippines and do this stuff, but you just can't. You have not accomplished some of the tasks that you have came here for. You haven't reached those goals yet. But God is with you. God is with you. He loves you. You can be better here. So when you come back home, for some of you who are not locals, when you come back home, you'll be a better person. They'll be surprised. You came here so thin and really thin. You're coming back not really thin. but you're wiser. You're more patient. You're basically better. You love. We can see your love for God. You know how to accomplish difficult tasks. You know how to face the adversity. You can excel wherever you are assigned. You bloom. You improve. So how difficult is your situation right now? Are things getting worse? But are you getting better in more difficult situations? Do you sense that the Lord is with you? I hope you will sense that the Lord is with you. Improve your prayer life. Keep on reading the Word. Keep on attending faithfully. Keep on listening to the teachings of Pastor Paul. If you miss some of those, you can get back to the live stream, Facebook, and you'll get better. Thank you, Heavenly Father, because you are with us. You know where we are. You know what we're going through. You know if things are getting tougher for us. But you are the same God whose strength, Lord, never fails. You're the one who gave victory for David against Goliath, even against Saul. And you are the one that will give us success in the midst of adversity. We pray, O Lord, that we will not waste these opportunities, that we can work here, that we can learn here, that we can serve here, that we have a fellowship here, even when we're far from our family. We have feeding here. We have everything that we can get. Perhaps time is a challenge, but opportunities are not scarce. Bless, Lord, my brothers and sisters, with the strength that you provide, and give them one victory after another, and they become better just like David. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name.